The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once, they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, blessed Sunday and good evening, everybody. Just two bits of housekeeping before we dive into these amazing, amazing readings today. So I'm sure you're wondering, what's going on with the lighting up here? Well, sadly, I forgot to pay the electric bill. So we had to. Now, you know, if you look up here, we have stage lighting high up here on the rafters. And what was supposed to be a day job, because we have to replace them every year, we got the wrong bulb sizes or something wasn't quite right, so now we have to send back for more, and it takes weeks to get over here. So thank you for your patience. Hence, the lighting all up here are all off. So we had to bring in this construction light here to hopefully illuminate the space a little bit. And then secondly, next Saturday is our largest parish fundraiser, our annual crab feed. And it is the largest fundraiser. We hope to raise about $40,000. To hopefully fund our faith formation program, all the many different activities that we have planned for the year, citing new projects that we want to do to help build up our parish families. And so out front, when you walked in, there's a whole bunch of poster boards. And those poster boards are all the different live auction getaway trips that are available. And so if you're attending the craft feed and want more information in anticipation of the auction, all the different trips are out there, so feel free to take a look and read more up there about them. And so hopefully if you want to bid on one of the trips, those will all be this Saturday. All right. Well, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Have you ever wondered why we are called Roman Catholic? Roman. Do you know why? Why do we even have that adjective, Roman Catholic, to the name? And so, my goal this evening, by the time you leave this church, it's a twofold goal, is that you will leave this church with a new profound reverence and pride. Why we are called Roman Catholic. And everybody asks you, why you're Roman Catholic? Hopefully, you'll be able to answer that question now. So that's the goal. Two, firstly, delve deeper why we're called Roman. And secondly, what the kingdom of heaven is. Because as we heard in the gospel today, our Lord is constantly going around preaching about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. But what does that mean? So that's the two goals right there. Roman, kingdom of heaven. All right, here we go. As you exit the church this evening, if you haven't already, make sure you grab a parish bulletin. Because on the direct on the front cover of the parish bulletin is the interior of the most famous church in the entire world. And it's the largest. And it is St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City. And what you see there is the bronze baldacchino, which is a baldacchino was simply a canopy-like structure. It was sculpted by the famous Renaissance artist Bernini. In the 16th century, he literally took the bronze that used to cover the dome of the Pantheon in Rome, the best preserved Roman ancient building. Stunning, one of the most beautiful buildings in the world itself. And Bernini took the bronze from the roof, with permission of the Pope, of course. And he had built that baldacchino. That baldacchino in the photo sits directly on top of the high altar of St. Peter's. That high altar sits directly above the tomb of St. Peter himself. But notice this. Rome is far from Galilee, isn't it? As we heard in the gospel today, Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two brothers, Peter and his brother Andrew. So there he is. We're introduced to Peter for the first time along the Sea of Galilee. Now imagine a map in your mind. Galilee is a modern day northern Israel. That is a long way to get all the way from northern Israel to the city of Rome. What is Peter doing in Rome? To understand the implication, let's go all the way back to the book of Daniel. Specifically, Daniel chapter 2. I don't have time to get into the details of the dream that Daniel speaks about here. Unless you want to be here for 45 minutes to summer homily. Let me know. I'm happy to do that. Makes me excited. So in Daniel chapter 2, we have King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of the Babylonian Empire. And like many of us, have you ever had a weird dream before? You woke up and you're like, what was that dream about? And you would try to figure out, what does this dream even mean? Well, King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2 has a bizarre dream. And nobody could help him interpret the meaning of this dream. Until he calls in the prophet Daniel. Daniel comes in to the king and he begins to explain this dream. This dream is also now known as the prophecy of the five kingdoms. The five kingdoms. And Daniel begins to explain to King Nebuchadnezzar. He says to him, there will be five successive kingdoms, each taken over by a more powerful one. The first kingdom is yours, Daniel says to King Nebuchadnezzar. The first kingdom is the Babylonian Empire. In the 6th century BC, it was the most powerful empire on earth at that time. But a second empire would follow and conquer the Babylonians. And they would be the Medo-Persian Empire. And they would conquer Babylon. But the Medo-Persian Empire would then now be conquered by a third, by the powerful Greeks. Alexander the Great. Imagine this. By the time Alexander the Great was 35 years old, he would conquer the known world. He was one of the most brilliant tacticians that we've ever seen. The Greeks would then shortly be conquered by a fourth kingdom. Guess who they were? The mighty Roman Empire. So this is where we have now. So all the practicing Jews in the first century Judaism would have understood the prophecy of Daniel. And they knew the story of the five kingdoms that Daniel had prophesied. And they knew the timing of it. So all of this is floating around in the first century. And the kingdoms have come. Babylon, the Medo-Persian, the Greeks, Rome. And they saw the four successive kingdoms. But what is now missing? The fifth kingdom. I want to read you directly Daniel chapter 2. As Daniel describes the qualities of the fifth and final kingdom. Listen. And in those days, those kings, the God of heaven, will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, nor shall its sovereignty be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, a great God has made known to the king what shall be hereafter. The dream is certain, and its interpretation sure. So what Daniel said here is that the fifth final kingdom will be a kingdom not built by human hands. So no human being built this kingdom. It was built and established by God himself. And not only that, this new kingdom, once it's established, will last forever. It will never be destroyed like the Romans or the Greeks or the Medo-Persians or the Babylonians. This new fifth kingdom will last forever. All right, why am I talking about this? All of that is in the background of our gospel today. Now imagine yourself. You are a first century Jew. You know your Jewish faith. And you know the prophecy of Daniel. And you know the timing of this. Now enter Jesus Christ. My friends, in the gospel today, these are the first words ever recorded by Jesus in Scripture. What does Jesus say? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Do you see now there, right there, immediately every first century Jew would have understood the implications of what our Lord is saying here. He says here, he laid it down in the gospel, he says, he went around in their synagogues proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And the people who had heard when Jesus say that the kingdom of God is at hand, they knew. Jesus, are you the one prophesied by Daniel to establish this fifth eternal kingdom? Now watch the drama even intensify. Where is Jesus? He's along the Sea of Galilee. Who does he call first? Peter. Peter. Then he calls Andrew. Then he calls James. Then he calls John. Here in the gospel, we have the first four who will eventually make up how many? The 12 apostles, evoking the original 12 tribes of Israel. 12 tribes, 12 apostles. Now let's go back to the city of Rome, the St. Peter's Basilica of that photo on the bulletin cover. When you look your eyes above, directly above that baldacchino, inscribed around the rim, the perimeter of that huge dome, designed by Michelangelo himself. Probably, arguably, the greatest artist humanity has ever known. He had it written, Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 through 19. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against her. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. My friends, right there, Jesus is building his kingdom, and this fifth and final kingdom is the Catholic Church. This is why Peter would go all the way to the heart of the empire, and in that city of Rome, knowing that he has been entrusted by Jesus himself with the keys of the kingdom, that he would lay down his life. And from that moment on, all 288 successors of Peter built upon the rock. We are that fifth kingdom. Now do you see why? We are Roman Catholic. And not anything else.